I'd like to introduce our next speaker, who I hope I can count as an old friend. Paul and I have worked together for many years, a very, very long time. Too long, because it reminds me that I'm heading towards that category of over 50s. Paul Martin is Chief Executive of Lesbian and Gay Foundation, UK's leading lesbian and gay and bisexual community health charity, who are working to end homophobia and empower people. Paul was a founder member of Healthy Gay Manchester in 1994. And in 2000, Healthy Gay Manchester merged with Manchester Lesbian and Gay Switchboard and became the UK's second longest serving telephone helpline supporting LGB people to form Lesbian and Gay Foundation. The Lesbian and Gay Foundation believe in a fair and equal society for lesbian and gay bisexual people to reach their full potential. And Paul's going to take us through the importance of LGBT people to our economy within the Northwest. And then he's going to talk about changes to health and social care services. So hand over to Paul. Thank you.
Well, good morning, and I'm really, really pleased to be here, and I'm also really pleased to learn that the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual and Trans seminar this morning is actually one of the most successful of the regional's equality seminars. So you're part of something that's very successful already, so that's a fantastic start. And also 90% of the success is actually turning up, so thank you very, very much for turning up this morning. As Evelyn said, yes, I have been working for a long time in this city around lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans issues. And the Lesbian and Gay Foundation is a nationally significant regional organisation working with lesbian, gay and bisexual people to essentially end homophobia and empower people. And again, as Evelyn said in her introduction, at the Lesbian and Gay Foundation, we really believe in a fair and equal society where all lesbian, gay and bisexual people can achieve their full potential. So the work of the organisation that I work for is organised under four strands, four strategic programmes. A services programme that includes delivering services to over 40,000 beneficiaries each and every year. We have an incredibly successful helpline service, free condoms and lube, which is like one of the most significant schemes of its kind in the UK, and a whole range of mental health and an incredibly large HIV and sexual health work programme. We also have a very comprehensive information programme of work. We have Out Northwest, which is a regional monthly community magazine. We have our website, which has over 6 million hits every year. And we provide and produce an awful lot of information resources. And just to put that into context, last year we distributed over 17 million pages of advice and information to lesbian, gay and bisexual people across this region. We also increasingly are looking at advocacy services, and we are attempting to develop a programme where lesbian, gay and bisexual people voices are actually heard. And as experts in our own lives, increasingly at the LGF, we believe that in order to end homophobia, we as a community must organise ourselves and mobilise ourselves to ensure that our needs are met. And one of the things that we're trying to do at the Lesbian and Gay Foundation is raise lesbian, gay and bisexual people's awareness of our emerging legal rights, and I know that Stephen's going to talk a bit about those later, as well as increasingly providing training and skills development opportunities so that lesbian, gay and bisexual people can actually exercise those rights. And finally, we absolutely believe in the importance of research and a strong evidence base. And we are trying at the moment to attempt to get some funding to actually establish a policy unit at the LGF in order to kind of contribute to that debate. And we're trying to find funding to support research programs in order to build up that evidence base in order for us to be perceived as a full and equal partner within the changing face of the public sector. So I think that it's very true to say that the Northwest is a region of contrast, and that the Northwest is actually facing a number of major challenges in improving the public health of its population when you compare it to other parts of the UK. In the Northwest, we have higher levels of unemployment, we have higher levels of days lost due to ill health, and correspondingly, there are higher claims and higher levels of claims for incapacity benefit in the Northwest in comparison to other parts of the UK. There's also higher levels of health inequalities, and also there are higher levels of households actually earning less than the national average of income. And yet, and this is where the contrast come in, the Northwest is the third highest regional economy in the UK and is responsible for some 9.9% of the UK's total economic output. The regional agencies, the three regional agencies, the Government Office Northwest, the Regional Assembly and the Regional Development Agency, all of them collectively are committed to generating an economically prosperous region with a skilled and flexible workforce with businesses that are competitive. They're also committed to ensuring that it's a socially inclusive region with a big focus on community cohesion and particularly a big emphasis on healthy individuals who are well educated, economically active and most importantly safe. And the regional agencies are also committed to ensuring that we actually have a sustainable environment within the Northwest. So what I've tried to do, what I'm going to try and do this morning in my presentation is start to pull together the beginnings of an economic profile of the lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans population of the Northwest. There is some very, very sparse research out there and there isn't a consistent picture. And I want to kind of give you a very, very clear health warning from the start. I'm not an economist and I'm certainly not an economic researcher. And so therefore some of the figures I'm presenting with you have come very much from how I've interpreted some data and put it together and applied it to the Northwest. So a big health warning there. And it's also interesting to note that some of the figures that Christine was talking about, I'm going to sort of like, you know, slightly disagree with those. And it's not that I'm disagreeing with Christine, but I think it's making the point that actually there isn't an economic profile of lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans population in this country, and it is something that's missing. And in order for us to compete in a regional economic marketplace, we need to actually prioritise developing this economic profile. So overall, I believe that there are 612,000 lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people in the northwest of England. And the reason I believe that is that the government are using as their official figure 6% of the population are lesbian and gay. There are no official figures for bisexual men and women and for trans people. Now, I think that conservatively, bisexual men and women and trans people in the UK constitute a further 3%. So I think that 9% overall of the Northwest population is lesbian, gay, bisexual or trans. Interestingly, we're probably a very, very long way away from actually getting an official figure because the Office of National Statistics has actually refused to actually have a sexual orientation question put in the 2011 census. And the reasons that they cite, in their opinion, is it's not suitable. There are a whole range of privacy issues. It's not acceptable or won't be acceptable to vast parts of the population. They've got issues about accuracy. Christine touched a little bit on it in her presentation. They have real concerns that the conceptual definitions of sexuality are so varied and vague that people won't know what box to put themselves in. And they also are very concerned that overall, asking what people's sexual orientation are, you know, is, will actually have a massively negative impact on the census altogether. So we are still a long way from actually being able to determine an officially sanctioned, you know, number of how many of us there are. However, if you accept my figure of 612,000, across the UK, 61% of the population are working or of working age. So that would translate into 375,000 lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people in the northwest of working age. If all of us were to be earning the national average income, that would generate a 5.5 annual earning potential each and every year. But there are no figures, to my knowledge, of actually how much lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people actually earn. We don't know how safe we are in employment. We don't know what kind of jobs that we have. We don't necessarily know what our skill mix is. However, if we were earning this 5.5 annual amount of money each year, that would translate into approximately 1.5 billion annual tax contributions. And also, interestingly, approximately £270 million of council tax contributions each and every year. So not only are we out there, we're also paying for services. And as much as I recognise that we are expected to contribute to generic services, I also don't want to hear from commissioners and from regional agencies in particular that unfortunately there aren't any resources for lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans issues, because we are fully contributing to the regional economy, as these figures slightly demonstrate. One of the concerns that I do have about some of the economic information that's out there around lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans people is I think it actually paints a very particular picture. It actually paints the pink pound picture, or as I've recently learnt in America, the Dorothy dollar. And it's new to me, but it was on the weakest link, so it must be true. But studies generally tend to focus on gay men. Occasionally they'll include lesbians, and very, very rarely, if ever, will they include bisexual or trans people. Now, some of these studies that have existed have tended to be undertaken at lifestyle exhibitions, or have actually been contained within the pages of quite aspirational publications with aspirational readerships. So a number of these figures, I think, are slightly skewed, because in my experience of working in this sector, lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people are just as likely to be poor, are just as likely to be uneducated, are just as likely to be in low-paid jobs, and so on and so forth, and yet we just don't have the evidence base for it. However, the research that actually exists out there suggests that 90% of lesbians and gay men do not have any dependents. Well, that was obviously before civil partnerships, which have completely taken the government by surprise. But also, anecdotally, lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people, in my experience, are much more likely to be taking care, being the primary carers of their elderly and frail parents, and actually will often be kind of like, you know, taken and expected to provide that over and above their married heterosexual siblings. So there's some data out there that exists that suggests that gay men in full-time jobs earn at least £10,000 over the national average. Again, if you ask the gay men that work at the Lesbian and Gay Foundation, I think they actually might kind of like, you know, challenge that figure. And also, data suggests that lesbians earn 6% more than the national average for women. The reason why I'm kind of, you know, making these points, I think, is because I have real concerns that we have a very, very skewed picture, that we have a very, very mixed picture, and that it kind of like, for many, many people, and I've experienced it myself, talking to commissioners, talking to senior people in the public sector, that actually we're fairly well educated, we're fairly well off, we're fairly well sorted, we've got high levels of disposable income. Why on earth do you want to kind of like make a claim on the sort of like the public purse? Some other information. The national estimated LGBT economy in this country is some £70 billion. But I don't know where that money's from, and I don't know how that figure was arrived at. For me, it seems that it's slightly high. And it's also good to know that this economic research is, you know, stereotypes are alive and well. Gay men have been found to spend more on holidays, DVDs and clothing, and lesbians spending more money on mobile phone bills and pet food. Now, it didn't specify whether it's cats, it just said pets. Now, I think that the information is very patchy and inconsistent. However, the one thing that we can absolutely be clear of is that homophobia and transphobia costs. It costs lives. The impact of living in fear of discrimination, lives blighted by homophobia, hate crime as one indicator, last year was up by 23% nationally. And in Merseyside saw a 49% increase, and Blackpool alone saw a 60% increase. Now, whilst I acknowledge that these figures are likely to be high because hate crime monitoring schemes have been introduced, I also think that they're far too unacceptably high. And overall, a recent research study by Stonewall found that two-thirds of us have been a victim of hate crime in our lives, and yet only 18% of us have ever reported one of those hate crimes. Homophobia and transphobia cost the economy. The number of working days lost due to ill health, stress, fear and bullying is unknown. Other economic costs of homophobia and transphobia have yet to be determined, but we will absolutely know there is a financial price to pay as well as a human price. And homophobia and transphobia can cost you your reputation. With the new regulations that are coming online, you may and will be sued in terms of the provision of goods and services and in terms of employment regulations. And just sticking with employment for a second, one in five lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans people have experienced discrimination in the workplace. Half of all the people in this study had actually experienced harassment at work. And 25% of us had actually avoided certain jobs and careers because we felt that they were sort of like not appropriate, or they wouldn't be very accepting of us. And overall, two-thirds of lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people concealed their sexual orientation from their work colleagues and in their workplace. These figures are unacceptably high, in my opinion. And a Canadian study very recently undertook a piece of research looking at the economic costs of home associated with homophobia. And taking that study and looking at some of the economic indicators and applying it to the Northwest, making the adjustments in terms of the different size of population and actually also taking into account the currency rate at last week, it would put, if this study was true and if we accepted these indicators, it would put the total cost of homophobia and transphobia in the Northwest at somewhere between £180 and £700 million. I need to speed up because I've only got 5 minutes, but one of the things that I'm very, very concerned of at the moment is about the number of lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans organisations that exist and our capacity to participate in the new Commission Equality of Human Rights that's coming online in October. And just looking at this, you can see that in England and Wales, 11,400 charities looking at gender, 37,100 charities working around disability, 11,700 looking at race. The missing number there is 39,400 looking at older people, 22,000 charities working around faith, 200 working around lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans issues. I have real concerns about our capacity to be able to fully participate in this emerging agenda. The Northwest charitable sector is worth £3.3 billion a year. There are 15,800 charities employing some 54,000 staff with 78,000 trustees. So civic engagement is alive and well in the Northwest. If you look at the figures that we have generated for this presentation, there are 201 lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans businesses that we can find in the Northwest, and 141 lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans voluntary and community sector organisations working in the Northwest. Breaking that down, two particular numbers I want to draw your attention to is over half of those voluntary and community sector organisations are in the Manchester area, and there's 91 businesses that are working with LGBT people in Blackpool, and that's because of the number of guest houses that exist. So I'm really, really concerned about our capacity to participate in this public sector policy landscape and ensure that our needs are met. So it's clear that policy on health and healthcare is changing in very, very important ways. There is a growing policy emphasis in principle, if not in practice, on individuals to become active managers of their own health. So I think there are two important questions for us to attend to. How can these new agendas work to the benefit of lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people? And how can the NHS and other public sector bodies as a whole, many of us who feel that these are institutionally homophobic or transphobic, but how can these public sector organisations ensure that LGBTs are fully recognised within these reforms to improve our health and reduce health inequalities? So I want to kind of give you a couple of very, very practical steps that I believe you and everybody can take to actually work towards that. First, it's about monitoring sexual orientation within the workplace and within services. Staff and volunteers, LGBTs are often invisible within the system, and many, many assumptions are made about us. I also think it's important for the sexual orientation of customers and stakeholders to be recorded so that we can actually find out how many of us there are in services, what kind of services we're receiving and how we're kind of treated. And also I think it's really, really important, as I've already mentioned, for the Office of National Statistics to actually do a population-wide survey and include us within the census. Increasing the visibility of lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans people in websites. I am very, very saddened to report that last year I was at a regional conference and I said that before I came to this conference, I actually assessed the websites of the three major regional agencies and none of them actually had any entry for lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people. That surprised people last year, and this year on, I'm saddened to say that it's exactly the same. Nothing's changed. If you put in lesbian, gay, bisexual or trans on any of the three regional organisations, even this symposium doesn't come up in the listings. It's not acceptable. Posters should be within workplaces and within working environments. Images within publications are not just images of us at Pride festivals or drinking on Canal Street. You know, we are everywhere and we are in lots of different places. And you tell me the last mainstream health promotion campaign you saw that actually was inclusive of lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people. Even though, as Justin, when he arrives, will talk about the evidence base that lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans people are much more likely to smoke and so on and so forth. General population campaigns, we're not included. And if you truly want lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people to feel welcomed and valued and our identity to be validated, then inclusion and visibility is vital. Provision of training at all levels within the organisation, and not just about 5 minutes within the equality or diversity session. It's absolutely vital that training is provided at the start of someone's employment and ongoing. It's important that senior management are included too, because they're often the ones with the most influence and their hands on the levers of power. Board and wherever organisations have user involvement or consultations, sexual orientation should be included with any pre-training. Equity of investment in diversity initiatives. It's absolutely vital that we are not excluded, that we are not sort of like, you know, put to the side, as often happens in diversity, because for many people, diversity doesn't mean and doesn't include lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people. It's also vital to ensure that organisations have staff groups that organise, that employers in particular recognise and value the input and opinion of lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people, and actually kind of ensure that their views can actually influence the system and have an impact. Assessing and benchmarking performance, ensuring that quality standards include appropriateness and sensitivity of services for lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people as part of any inspection or any star rating system. That would be the day, wouldn't it, when actually those questions, you know, include us and actually how we feel and how appropriate those services have been. It's absolutely important that organisationally there's a great awareness and the culture of organisation, what the police call the canteen culture, the culture of an organisation is inclusive. It's really, really important that we are not excluded in terms of birthday parties and after drink works and, you know, that awkwardness about, you know, who's this? Is that your mate? No, it's actually my partner. And that still exists in many, many places. And it's also important that staff and customers are actually asked their opinion and actually what they think about the services that you provide. And finally, the Lesbian and Gay Foundation are introducing a new initiative called the Rainbow Partnership. There is some information outside there for you to get some more information. But we, you know, join the Lesbian and Gay Foundation's Rainbow Partnership. Rainbow at lgf.org.uk is the email address. If you email us your name and contact details, we'll put you on the email network. We're really, really keen for individuals, for teams, for organisations to join and actually build up a range of different networks, both physical as well as via email. And there will be a whole range of different things coming online. And finally, I just want to leave you with one point, is that everybody should have the opportunity to realise their full potential irrespective of their background, and that includes all lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people in the North West region, all 612,000 of us. Thank you very much for your time and attention.